gentlemen, welcome to the January 27th edition of Warrior Connection. Again, our purpose and goals is to inform the military veterans and their families of all the information, get the information out, share information with each other, and do the best we can to help each other. Tonight we're going to continue on with what we've done on Desert Storm, History of Desert Storm, and also we invite everybody to call in as we have done in the previous weeks. So please call in tonight to 888-874-4888. Again, 888-874-4888. And once you get in, just pipe right up and join the conversation. Let us know you're there. We don't have any way to communicate with our producer, so you just have to call in and then speak right up. And Denise, are you here tonight?
Yes, I am, and I'm just telling them to tell the producer they want to be the call-in and talk person, not just to listen.
Yep.
And I am here, and our most significant thing that happened this last week was the IOM, National Academy of Science, issued a report, and if you haven't read it, you can go to the IOM website and get the report. It's Gulf War and Health, Volume 9, Treatment for Chronic Multisymptom Illness.
Yeah, this is extraordinarily important, ladies and gentlemen, because what we are seeing, again, for the first time with the Institute of Medicine, they are confirming what we have said forever on this program, and what Denise Nichols, myself, and a whole bunch of us have been saying for a long time, Paul Sullivan, Joyce Riley, a whole bunch of us are all involved, that the medical problems associated with all the toxic exposures during Operation Desert Storm definitely led to this chronic multi-symptom illness that we're seeing, and that's why there is no one small solution for it. It's very complex and very neat. But what the IOM is confirming is we are seeing exactly the same medical problems in Operation Iraqi Freedom, Enduring Freedom, and Operation New Dawn. We're seeing them out of Somalia and out of the Balkans and all over. So it's there, ladies and gentlemen. Again, the complex toxic exposures have done it. The findings, conclusions, recommendations from the summary report, number one, committee's finding, conclusions, and recommendations are in five major categories. This is a direct quote, ladies and gentlemen. Treatment for chronic multi-symptom illness. The VA healthcare system as related is to improving symptoms of care, systems of care, and management of care for veterans who have chronic multi-symptom illness. Dissemination of information through the VA healthcare system about caring for veterans who have CMI. Improving the collection and quality of data on outcomes and satisfaction of care for veterans who have CMI and are treated in VA healthcare facilities. And research and diagnosing treating CMI on program evaluation. Now, unless I'm missing something, Denise, these findings are what you wrote up years ago when you presented to the IOM.
You are missing a lot, Doug, and I don't know if you've read the report, and I don't think you got to do the call-in and listen to it. And we had, I think, two, maybe three of their meetings were public. And the vets very definitely spoke up to them of this not being psychological, psychosomatic, and the report is really a disappointment. I'm reading it for the third time to try to find anything positive in it. Now, what they looked at is thousands of studies on multi-symptom illnesses. Now, very few of those related to the Gulf War veterans or to veterans even. This was from population at large and did not take into account exposures. And looking at the work of Dr. Haley or Dr. Glum, all that was glossed over. The exposures, glossed over, whether it be chemicals, sand, DU, vaccines, PB tablets, any and all of the above. They glossed over that. They did not spend any time looking at how that might impact treatment. What they looked at is psychosomatic, communication with doctors about managing chronic symptoms. Now, if they're calling treatment about diet education or about cognitive behavior, which they repeat and repeated throughout the study, throughout the report, we're not getting very far. We're taking a huge step backwards, Doug. And It's quite flooring when you read this. Now, the intent of the law that started this was issued in 2010. The law was in 2010 wanting this type of study. But the intent of the law was to get a group of physicians together that are caring for Gulf War veterans. The whole group was supposed to be a group of physicians caring, not only VA, but civilian, and to look at potential things that they might be thinking of that might help the veterans, okay, besides cognitive behavior, besides diet type thing, besides dealing with stress, okay, treatment based on the potential exposures and what they have thought about using, be it off the shelf or what they have thought about needing to be developed. None of that was done. That was the intent of the law that we asked for, was to get a group of doctors together, gather this information of the doctors that are actually seeing and caring for these patients.
That includes us.
Right. And to document what they're seeing, what treatment ideas they've used, what diagnostic skills they've had to use, all that data, which would have been very, very valuable to have. And it ended up a literature review on multi-symptom illnesses, which you can have after cancer treatment on chemotherapy. You know, the analogy I'm using is as the old cardiac nurse and having a husband that went through a cardiac that almost, you know, was a widow maker. And luckily we caught it and had the appropriate care. Now, when I talk about care, I'm relating that way. If you have heart pains, you go in, you get EKG, you get a stress test, you get enzymes run, the particular enzyme that shows damage to the heart that's almost instantaneous now. They'll catch it in the ER. They'll put you in the hospital if it's elevated, and they'll continue to track if it's elevated. They'll schedule you for a cath, cardiac cath, to see where your damage is in your arteries. And at that time, if they can treat it with a stent, they'll do it then. Otherwise, they say, hey, where the blockage is, where it's significant, we need to do open heart surgery, bypasses. Okay? Or else the level is not to the point of stenting or bypass surgery. We want to start you on some medication. We want to monitor your electrolytes. We want to, the typical things that you would watch for based on the medications you give and monitoring them for any side effects. And then we'll teach you about how to help with your stress management. We'll look at your diet, and we'll help you learn about that. Those are complementary. Those are patient education. That is not care. That is not medical care. That is second-level care. You know, we do what we can medically to deal with a medical condition, and then we develop patient education to help the person alter their risk factors in the future from that day forward. Now, we can't let them pass over that exposures can cause physical damage in the body.
We have to understand. I want to come back to this again because we're talking about Desert Storm.
Right.
You have to understand.
Let's be specific, Doug.
Pardon?
You came back. You've had kidney stones. What other medical type conditions have you had?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, when we first started out, we started out with all the gastrointestinal stuff right away from the complex food and waterborne illnesses. We had all the respiratory problems. We had the rashes that started. We had the kidney problems that started. We had the cancers on our team within 9 months. First death from cancers within 2 years. And as you know, we've lost, you know, again, members of our team from cancer in the last year or so.
I want to know the medical diagnoses that you've been given.
Pardon?
The medical diagnosis.
Well, we've got fibromyalgia. We've got all explosive diarrhea. We've got neuropathy. We had the radiation cataracts. We had the hearing problems. We got the rashes that are just devastating. It just goes on and on and on. We got all the dental problems. Got all of the hearing, eye, respiratory, it's the whole symptoms.
I just finished rereading, I think it was chapter 6 in Appendix B, about communication with the patient, doctor communication. There's some good principles in that about, you know, eye-to-eye contact and all that basic stuff they should be doing anyway. But there's nothing about educating the physicians on the research being done by Dr. Haley, Dr. Golan, Dr. Baronic. None of that is covered.
Well, you have to remember, I mean, they're not the VA doctors, and ones I've experienced don't even know the information is there. They're not looking for it. When you tell them about it and ask them to go look for it, they refuse to do so. But this all comes back, and I mean, I have to come back to the original decision that was made in the fall of 1990. The conscious decision was made by Dunn and Wayden, Perlman, and Kennison, okay, and they all came over, Vicki Merriman, that they would deny any correlation between the health and environmental effects of all of this stuff, the exposures and the consequent health problems on all on the people with Desert Storm. We had less than 1,000 casualties during Desert Storm proper. And right now, I mean, as of 2008, we had 300,000 that had already applied for disability with the VA. And Shinseki himself, in his report a couple of years ago, when he was mandating, you know, looking at it again, it was acknowledging over 300,000.
Right.
And then we're seeing...
Doug, remarks I got from the vets that forwarded to the media to try to get them to cover this, including the intent of the law and how this study ended up being a... review of the literature for chronic multi-symptom illnesses was not what we were looking for.
Well, you know, literature reviews are not going to do anything because we have to remember most of the care and treatment, all the original documents. I mean, I remember when we testified at the Institute of Medicine.
Right.
They said they weren't interested in the actual original medical reports or medical information. They
exactly.
only wanted peer-reviewed publications, which are just politically controlled contrivances.
Well,
and they're not looking at the reality of what we saw and what we had happen and what we knew from the get-go.
Let me give you a short and sweet. I had input from over 20 vets to forward to the media sources. One of them I had to talk to over the phone. The neurocognitive difficulties are getting worse. To get people to write things is a huge chore when I'm asking for something short and sweet, you know, like a paragraph or... two paragraphs list your symptoms, not your symptoms, but your medical diagnoses. And one of them I got back that repeatedly he had gone in with cardiac problems, cardiac symptoms, had never been evaluated by cardiology, never tested, you know. And it took his wife going in with him, jumping up and down, to get a cardiology consult. Now, if we're going to go through the cognitive behavior training, the psychosomatic type training, this is a disservice to the veterans. And as I watch the OBITs in the 40 to 50 year group, which is our youngest Gulf War vets now, and seeing sudden deaths at home, okay, that makes me think, well, suicide, but I think we're past that point. We're in the battle mode of they're not going to do that to us. But we see sudden deaths at home. Well, that's cardiac or a stroke or a pulmonary embolus or medical conditions that haven't been diagnosed. And that concerns me as the nurse, is these deaths in this 40 to 50 age group, and even after 50, I would say 58, that they should be evaluated and see what's really happening that's causing their deaths. And if we just go along with their program here of treating multi-symptom illness as a psychosomatic problem and with cognitive behavior and exercise and, you know, that you can take care of this problem, that's not going to cut it. I am very concerned on the death rate. And no, I can't directly relate each death, but when they're occurring in the 40-year-old group...
separate my people.
I think we have a call-in, Doug.
Yeah, was somebody called in? Is somebody in on the line?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi, hi. Welcome. Thank you for calling.
Oh, I thank you.
Can you give us your name and the unit you served in and what you're going through with getting help? I assume you're a Gulf War veteran.
Yes, I'm also a veteran of Operation Just Cause. At that time, I was with Charlie Company, 1st of 504, PI, Parachute Infantry Regiment, and the 82nd Airborne Division.
And in the Gulf War, you served with?
I was with Alpha Battery, 2nd of the 43rd Air Defense Artillery, a Patriot unit out of Hanau, Germany.
Okay, and have you gone to the VA, and what kind of treatment are you receiving, and your thoughts on the IOM report, if you've looked at it?
I have briefly looked at it. As always, the major point is denial.
What medical problems are you dealing with?
Everything. IBS. Deteriorative joints. Lattice deterioration of my retinas. I have a facial rash that they couldn't tell what it is, so they just put it as eczema, which it is not.
What kind of
I have multiple migraines, and I have the worst one is I have relapsing, remitting multiple sclerosis.
Okay. What kind of diagnostic testing have they done for you? And I assume this is from VA.
Yes. They did test my bone density. My bone density, the technician said, were like steel. I have no meniscus in either knee. I have my S5 in my neck is very has problems if I look up for a period of time. I become extremely lightheaded. It pinches it off my nerve. I've been going through since 2007, when I first put in for my claims, and at that time I was not diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. So everything was listed as secondary to chronic multi-symptom illness, which we know is made up to not sound like the three words that we're not, that the VA doesn't like to say.
What kind of medications have they given you, and have they helped, or other?
I'm on a very large regiment of medications. Most of them are daily. Some are if I have migraines, if I become agitated at times, I take something to calm me down, kind of like Xanax, but not.
Are these mostly psychological drugs, or are they targeted to the physical body?
Majority that I of the medications that I take are for my multiple sclerosis. Plus, I take an injection of Copaxone every morning, which restricts any, well, it either stops or slows the development of the calcium bands of the MS, progressing.
Have they sent you to one of the VA centers for multiple sclerosis?
No. I have only dealt with the hospital.
Uh-huh.
The hospital, and the hard part about it is that it is a teaching hospital for the attached university.
Right.
So we have a lot of residencies that work there.
What VA are you going to?
Haley Hospital in Tampa, Florida. I live in Port Richey.
Have they referred you, or have you tried to get a referral for the War-Related Illness Center, either in Orange, New Jersey, or Washington, D.C.?
I am in process with Washington, D.C. It's been a hit and miss with trying to get there. I do have to, if I walk for maybe 100, maybe not even 100 yards, maybe 50 yards, I start feeling fatigued.
Have they put you into Tampa? Do they have one of these teams formed? They started this up in Seattle, and I hear they've got a program starting in Philadelphia. The cognitive behavior therapy or any of those type therapies, have you been involved in any of that?
I have been tested twice for my memory.
Right.
My long-term memory is long-term is like an elephant. short-term, it's borderline normal, abnormal, and my recall memory is slightly affected or slightly altered. So, after 20 minutes, I may forget it.
Right.
Are the
doctors that you've seen at the VA aware of the research that's going on with Dr. Haley or Dr. Guillaume? Are they following that research that's more targeted to the exposures in diagnostic or biomarker development? I mean, you're in Florida. Dr. Klimas is down there.
Yeah, I do have a doctor that is highly recognized is Dr. Dunn. He is supposedly extremely one of the top-notch multiple sclerosis doctors. In fact, when prior I had the resident say that I didn't have MS.
Amanda, can you go inside, please?
Excuse me?
Okay. It sounds like we might have another call in.
Okay.
Hold on. Don't leave us.
No, I won't.
Somebody else has called in.
Do we have another call-in person that's called in?
Yes. Yes. Also, I'm on the call, too. I've been on the call for about 20 minutes.
Okay, well, we'll hold with our Florida veteran and take a few comments from you. Would you tell us a first name and what unit you served with and which state you live in, which give us an idea of the VA you're going to? Go ahead. Hello.
Hello, I'm in Florida. I serve with the 24th Infantry Division, 224 Support Battalion in Desert Storm.
Okay, and what are you seeing? Do you have a comment, first off, on the new IOM report? And what are you going through as far as medical diagnoses and treatment there at your VA?
I haven't read the IOM report, so I'm really not familiar with it. You and I are actually friends on Facebook. I'm the one known as Desert Storm Veteran.
Okay.
So you and I have communicated somewhat.
Okay.
Some of the same things. I don't have muscular sclerosis. I have the chronic headaches and the migraines, but I've learned to take medication before the migraine get too bad, so I kind of learn how to head it off. Chronic joint pain, chronic fatigue, chronic neck pains in the back of my neck. They said that I have bone spurs in my neck, and they told me it must be from an old injury, but I don't recall ever injuring my neck. Chronic chest pains, hip and groin and mid body joint pains, knees, elbows, shoulders, hands. I get dizzy a lot. My head sometimes seems like I'm in a fog, can't concentrate.
And how old are you now?
I'm 51.
51, so still a young man. Shouldn't be having these problems.
You were with the 24th. Did you go up on the highway of death also?
Yes. As a matter of fact, when they were blowing up the munition depot there, we were probably only about a mile from there. I was watching listening to the explosions. And watching the smoke go up from the explosion, I actually remember that particular mushroom cloud that so many people talked about, because it was only one that and I noticed watching that, I said, something's wrong here. This cloud here is different than the rest of them.
You saw the colored cloud then?
Yes, I did.
And how is your VA treating you? Do you feel like your VA physicians are informed on the exposures and looking at the physical problems, or more of the psychological?
I don't think they're informed. I don't think really they want to be informed. As long as they can deny it, as long as they can say we didn't know, they're safe. So as far as they're concerned, ignorance is bliss. I do see a social worker for counseling, and he don't even know what Desert Storm Syndrome is. How do you work in the VA and you don't even know what Desert Storm Syndrome is? Actually, my first doctor, my previous doctor, he wouldn't notate any of the problems that I had. He would say, we can only deal with one problem. You tell me what problem you want to deal with. We're not going to deal with the rest of them. So he wouldn't make any notes about all these multiple problems that I was having. Fortunately, he retired about a year and a half ago. So all the things from the previous years where he was supposedly treating me, it didn't end up in my medical records.
Okay, what kind of diagnostic testing have you had?
I had a MRI, and my memory is terrible. I've had cardiac workups where they checked out my heart to make sure my heart was okay. And my heart, I actually had a heart catheter, and my heart came back pretty much perfect. I know at times my heart starts skipping a beat for no reason. I don't know.
What did they find on respiratory or pulmonary?
They really didn't find anything that they told me. And actually, that was done at the civilian hospital. That wasn't done by the VA.
Did you ever have, like, a 24-hour recording of your heart where you had the little Holter monitor on and you wore it for 24 hours?
Yes, I did. And they told me they didn't find anything on it.
Okay. Did they do pulmonary function tests, and did they thoroughly assess your pulmonary status?
I don't know. I don't know what the thorough assessment would be, being that I'm not a medical person. So, and that's another thing. For years, you would go in, you would sit down, and they would hand you this form with medical terms on it and ask you, do you have any of these problems? How are you going to say if you have these problems or not, if terms mean?
Right.
Then they go back and use those forms against you and say, hey, here in 1995, you said you weren't having this problem. Well, I didn't know what that term meant in 1995. How was I supposed to know if I was having the problem or not?
Okay, we've had two call-ins. Just doing a quick check. Do we have a third call-in yet? Anybody else that's called in? I'm just trying to...
Yes.
Okay, we have a third one. You give us your name and the unit you served in and what you've been going through and your opinion of VA and what's happening with your situation.
My name is Joe Dove. I was with Hotel 312, attached to 3rd Battalion, 10th Marines, artillery direct support for 8th Marines.
Yeah, so you're coming up right along the coastline there.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys got zapped by everything under the sun.
That is absolutely 100% correct.
We absolutely knew that we had Scuds coming in there with chemical weapons on them. We knew we had all the chem bio blowing up. I mean, it's another thing too. Denise and I had Chuck Horner give us the actual video showing up, everything blowing up, and come right down on the Marines.
Your medical diagnosis through the VA and your opinion, if you've read or looked at the IOM report?
Unfortunately, Denise, I have not had it. I saw you posted that on Facebook. I have not had an opportunity to read through that yet.
Yeah.
My clinical diagnosis, 70% for PTSD, chronic fatigue, irritable bowel, fibromyalgia. And where it gets kind of screwed up, in my opinion, is it's okay, you have this, but when it comes down to the actual, treatment, okay, you might be able to get a pill for the irritable bowel, and that's the one pill I do take from the VA, because I tried all kinds of different stuff for, my anxiety and so on and so forth. However, when it comes to the fatigue and all that, and I saw you posted something earlier today, you know, that's when it becomes frustrating. And when I first went to the VA in St. Petersburg, I went up and I met with a doctor who, quote unquote, specialized in Gulf War illness / syndrome. And I went through the whole physical process with him, and he said, yeah, you definitely have some issues. So he referred me to my primary doctor. You know, 6 weeks later, I got an appointment with my primary doctor, and I told him what I was experiencing. And he's like, well, there's no reference point. I said, well, I said, Dr. So-and-so said he was going to email to you, you know, my visit, you know, with yourself. And then right in front of me, he emailed him back saying, well, you know, there's no dialogue here, and I don't know what to do. So he gave me a couple of referrals. I had to urinate in a half-gallon jug, you know, for 24 hours, bring it back to the VA.
Now, that one there is done for depleted uranium. Now, one of the crazy things with this, and
I requested that, too, yeah.
One thing that everybody understands, when we wrote that original medical report, medical recommendation for what's called a radiobioassay, the you collected the urine for 24 hours, you collected feces for 24 hours, and there's supposed to be a nasal and pharyngeal swab. This was supposed to be done within 72 hours of exposures. Anything post 30 days after the original exposure, you'll never find it. I mean, the levels are so low because of bio half-life and what we call the sequestration that you'll never find it. And so this is one of the things that the VA and the military has done very carefully is they don't tell the veteran, they don't tell exposed veterans, especially with depleted uranium or the other ones, what the requirement is. So they do the test years later, and they come back with a negative finding, which they know they're going to find because there's nothing to find, even though it's sequestered in the body. And then they claim there's no exposure.
How do we get past that, I guess is my question.
Well, you know, we come back to the same thing. And what I've done here with my own case in Danville, VA, and again when I went to Washington, D.C. to the War Injuries Clinic, I handed them the actual original order. And they go, oh, my God, we were lied to, we weren't told the truth, and now what we have to do, because if they can do it, they can extrapolate back. In my own case, we did the mathematical calculation, extrapolated back, and from one test that I had taken by the Department of Energy when I was doing the Nevada testing, blowing everything up, and then we extrapolated from the VA test, it came right on the money. And so we know that the calculation is right, but what the VA and Department of Defense have made a conscious decision, this Colonel Dr. Michael Kilpatrick, Captain Dr. Michael Kilpatrick, Colonel Bob Cherry, Colonel Eric Daxon, all doctors, that they were going to deny any correlation by not doing the test right to avoid any liability. And again, this comes back to an order that I was personally handed, in order to lie in our reports and avoid all liability that I was given in March of 1991 when we started all this. So again, nice. You're looking at it. If you get to the War Injuries Clinic in Washington, D.C. now, they have the order. They know what's supposed to be done. In my own case, when I got up, they said, we're not going to do the analysis. We know it's useless. And now what we have to do is look at the medical problems that are arising from the known medical effects from all these exposures and just deal with them. And that's what we have to look at, because in the VA's own guidance to their physicians, they acknowledge all these physiological problems that everybody is again said again tonight that they have done in the weeks past and what we hear all the time, and it's forcing the VA to just totally admit, acknowledge it, and go forward. It's frustrating beyond comprehension.
It absolutely is. And that's, you know, that is absolutely frustrating, you know, because for I'd say probably the first 10, 12 years, you know, I was out of the Marine Corps, you know, I didn't speak too much about it or anything like that, and I thought that, you know, my fatigue syndrome was just because, you know, I was working all kinds of weird hours, you know,
managing
restaurants.
No, you were hit by everything under the sun. The U.S.
Right.
Marines came up along the coast. We had all the chemical agents, we had the biological agents, we had the depleted uranium, we had all the hazardous materials from the oil well fires, a nightmare that came back on all you guys.
And, you know, I watched the tank battle, you know, going 800 yards in front of me, you know, and then, you know, further north of us, you know, we got word that there was an ammunition dump that we were, you know, hitting on. And then all of a sudden, you know, 3-4 hours later, we're rolling through the same place.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you have a chemical agent alarms that went off in your unit? Did you have anything up? 256 kits?
Yes. Yeah, we did.
And they were all positive, correct?
it got to the point where we almost took it as a joke, because it happened, you know, three or four times, just like with the Scud missile alerts before we actually moved in, you know. And it just got to the point where, like, okay, by the time we actually put our masks on and, you know, and our gloves and all that stuff, we're already, you know, halfway in the grave.
That's what they said about the alarms on my unit. Same exact thing. They were going off all the time, and the sergeant said that the wind makes those things go off. And
Pure nonsense because, you know, again, when we taught all this stuff in theater, when we arrived there just at the end of November, first week of December, our team, Bowers Raiders, we were the theater nuclear and biological chemical warfare experts at 3rd MedCom. And we taught everybody, told them how to set up the alarms. We told them that they were accurate, what we were going to do. And when they started having all the alarms go off, Dunn and Wade and Vicki Merriman started passing the word to Lyon that they were all, you know, faulty from smoke and everything else. Ladies and gentlemen, they weren't. The alarms detected known agents being released as the Iraqis used them. They were being released from the Scuds that were coming in. We had total confirmation. When I did a captured equipment project and got the Scud missile launchers, I confirmed the chemical agents on the Scud missile launchers after the fact when we got the used launchers back. They were hot. That's real. I mean, this is a reality. And, Denise, you've seen these reports. So.
Yeah. And I don't doubt it, but you know what? When you're 18, 19, 20 years old and you're trusting, you know, you're commanding your command, you know, like you just said, okay, well, we're just going to, you know. And I remember after we got back to Saudi in Camp 15, now my unit, after the ceasefire, we stayed about 8.5 miles from Kuwait City for about 33 days. Okay, and when we went down that hell highway coming back, because our CO wanted to take us for this victory lap and all this other stuff. And anyway, long story short, we spent another month and a half in Saudi before we got, you know, the orders to come back.
Did you were you at Cement City by any chance?
No, I don't remember. That doesn't sound familiar.
Okay.
But my point is, real quick, is, you know, when we got back to Saudi, for the whole time we were there, periodically, we'd be sneezing out black snot. And this was, you know, a month and a half after. And I remember telling a couple of my buddies, we were joking about it, and imagine what this is going to be like in 20 years. You know, and it was a joke back then, but the reality of it is, you know, it's not, you know. And to hear that, you know, we have to keep, you know, fighting the same people that we agreed to go over there for is very, very frustrating.
When you start talking about the black snot, this is one thing that came up immediately, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this right away after the oil well fires and everything. Colonel Dr. Thomas Little, Colonel Andres Cornegie-Both, Andres has gone to the heaven already, Command Sergeant Major Jim Runge, Colonel Dr. Herb Smith. These are the actual ones that went up and did the analysis on the oil well fires and reported it back. So when you're talking about having all the black junk and everything and scraping it out, they were joking, and Kennison put in the report, well, you're just going to have to use yourself a popsicle stick to scrape this out of your nose, your ears, and your mouth and your throat. What we absolutely know was constituents in there, ozone, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, acetylene, benzoanthrazine, biphenyl, chrysine, chloroethane, phenylethylene, pyrene, particulate, cadmium, chromium, nickel, lead, vanadium, zinc, benzene, toluene, ethylbenzene, MP, xylene, and oxylene. That is what was in that junk that you scraped out a month later. Any one of these causes all of these physiological problems that you're describing completely. Again, the VA made their conscious choice and Department of Defense made their conscious choice to disregard all of this stuff, even though it was all brought up. First major conference I know where this was all discussed was discussed at the end of January, early February in 1992 at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, because I recall the active duty to talk about the DU. Cam Scott was there to talk about the oil well fires, and we all put it out there on the table. But ever since, it's just been a how do we deny and avoid responsibility for the incredible, incredible numbers of casualties, over 300,000 from Desert Storm now, due to the toxic exposures, and well
over 1 million
for Iraqi freedom and enduring freedom.
Right. Do we have any other call-ins? We're at 5:45 my time, 15 minutes left in the program. I know three of you that have gotten to talk. Is there anybody else that has not gotten to talk on the call-in program?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, no. Would you like to tell us who you are and who you served with and where you're located?
Sure. My name is Jeremy. I was with the 1st to 24th Infantry Division, attack helicopter battalion, in the Gulf War, and then I currently live in Washington State.
Well, welcome to the program, and would you like to tell us a little bit about your medical problems? You're in Washington State. Are you going to Seattle to Dr. Hunt's program? And the other thing would be, you know, how you perceive your care at the VA as having been.
Right. Well, I've got tons of diagnoses. Everything from the VA is all undiagnosed. It's just, you know, symptoms. But I've been to a lot of private doctors too, and it's, you know, consistent with chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, headaches. The big three for me are fatigue, joint pain and muscle pain, and then headaches, and then brain fog and stuff like that. The VA, my primary care, he's decent enough, but he doesn't really know much about, you know, the Gulf War stuff. They did send me to the RISC in California, and they said pretty much, you're pretty much consistent with all the other Gulf War vets. I've tried a lot of different medications. Nothing's really helped or had any long-term lasting benefit. If it helps at all, it's very minimal, and it's usually, short-lived. A lot of the stuff, just the side effects and stuff, I don't like the side effects. So I don't take a ton of medication. They did refer me down to the pain clinic in Seattle there recently, and I'm trying that out, but doesn't seem to be helping either. I'm not in the program you're talking about, Seattle. I'm not familiar with it. I don't know what that's all about.
If you look at the IOM report, and I encourage all of y'all to read the report. Don't get irritated. When you get irritated, take a break. But they're talking about the cognitive behavior. They're mixing in psychosomatic communication with doctors. I'm not impressed. I also know that the intent of the law that got us to this point with this IOM was not for a peer review study of whatever is written in literature. It was supposed to be doctors that are seeing and caring for Gulf War vets, be it civilian or VA, and to gather their thoughts, their opinions of what they're seeing with the vets, what they've thought about for treatment or testing, and to get that info sharing among the doctors. And what we got instead was a literature review.
Yeah, on this guy in Washington, sir, when you get your pain, one thing you might want to do and ask the VA, because I know I'm back into it myself, is acupuncture is helping to reduce the pain, and we had the experts on acupuncture on the show back in the archive some months ago. The other thing, too, is pool therapy, and the other thing, too, is the deep muscle massage and the TENS unit.
I have done some of that, and it usually helps for a little while after. Nothing's been real lasting. But, and what I'm interested in, and I think some of this latest research is coming out, is really getting to the root of some of this for us, I think, is the damage to our autonomic nervous systems. And this came up. I went to Georgetown to Dr. Baranek. He did that study, and so this is some of the stuff he found with me too. Is your autonomic nervous system controls your blood flow and stuff like that, and among other things. But that's out of balance. And so I know one of the things I get is like my feet will just kill like all the time, like they hurt, and it hurts to stand on them, and it just feels like they're being squeezed and numb, and just all kind of weird sensations and stuff in there. And then they'll change color. Like if I stand up, they'll get like bright red and stuff.
I'm going to stop because there is a study going on in Boston with some of our good researchers on what you're describing as peripheral neuropathy. And it is a very good study. I think it's only, you know, a few hours, but they'll get you up there and do the testing. And
is that through the VA or?
No, it's through the Congressionally Directed Medical Research Program that we got this funded. And if you'll email me at dsnurse1@yahoo.com, I'll get the info back to you so you can call and maybe get lined up to be looked at for the peripheral neuropathy. And peripheral neuropathy also occurred with the Agent Orange Vietnam vets. So, you know, whatever we find on these really good researchers should help other groups of veterans, and that's what we're pushing for, versus the cognitive behavior, which I say is complementary treatment, complementary.
Absolutely. I think once if they can come up with a little bit of a consensus on at least something that's going on with this, for instance, if it's this autonomic nervous system, then they can start getting that word out. Because you're right, none of these doctors know about, you know, the research that Dr. Haley's done and stuff. And it's like, you know, that's where it needs to go and get that consistent word out. Okay, this is what we think is going on with these guys. And you know, but as it stands right now, it's like there's so many different theories and different approaches and you know, this complementary stuff they're trying to work in, and it's like that just muddies the waters, you know, and makes
things
harder.
Well, and that's why I want y'all to look at the IOM report, because it's going to take communication to our congressmen and senators about how this did not meet the intent of what was asked for in the law, and that this does not get to even the need for doctors at the VA to be informed about these other hard research studies that are being done by Dr. Haley, Roberta White, Ken Sullivan up in Boston, Dr. Bronick. And that is my frustration with this report when I reread the communication that they're advocating to be done, you know, physicians getting trained. They don't mention any of that.
On my own case, when I showed the MRI results from work we did down in Texas with Haley's group and all those stuff with Bill Ray, the VA doctors out here in Danville, Illinois, just about freaked out because it's the first time they'd actually seen it, seen the medical reports, and then all the stuff started linking together. But again, the education, the information that they're getting is contradictory to what the reality is, and that's something we've got to work on. I mean, it's an extraordinarily difficult problem.
So where this leads us, guys, is you've got to read what they say in these IOM reports, and whether it frustrates you or not, look for the bad and the good, I guess. But we need to feedback to our congressmen and senators in an organized way about how we feel about this study, that this was not the intent of the study, and how talking about communication and what the doctors need to do does not include anything about sharing research, the hard research from Dr. Bronick, Dr. Klimas, Dr. Haley, any of them that have gotten involved through the CDMRP that are trying to get to the root of the problem and talk about the root of the problem, the autonomic nervous system, the brain damage that's been done, and potential treatments. Right now, we have none, and that was the attempt, was to gather these doctors together and get their thoughts on what we could look at, off-the-shelf medications, not so much the psychotropic meds, but looking at the damage in the body to see what needed to be done.
Again, when we look at, there was another story posted in Army Times earlier today, and again with the Institute of Medicine. This is on the hazardous materials exposures, which happened all over, and especially with the burn pits in the current time. Again, the IOM is saying there's no health effects on this stuff, but yet when we look at the actual internal memorandum from the Department of the Army, Department of Medical Command, they're totally, totally acknowledging the health problems from all this stuff.
I'll get back with you.
Can I ask if there's any other call-in that hadn't had a chance to speak up, because the program's going to be ending on the hour here. So we want to acknowledge anybody else that's on the call-in. Please speak up.
Next week we're going to have a call on research methodology and getting information. Then we're going to come back to a call-in again in 2 weeks. Okay. Does that sound good, Denise?
Yes, it sounds good. Anybody else on the call-in? We're at 5 minutes to the end of the show, and we kind of need to know if anybody else called in. We want to hear from you right now. Looks like we have four call-ins. We've heard each of y'all, and the world has heard it through the Progressive Radio Network. And I just going to say what this leads us to is going back to the Hill in D.C. to senators and reps and letting your senator and rep know what you're going through, what the IOM did to us, which I feel is a step backwards instead of a step forward. But that's my opinion. That's why I'm telling y'all to read the report. Think about it. You know, discuss it online. We have Facebook, Gulf War Illnesses, by a tremendous Marine, David Winnett, monitors that one. We have the Exposed. If you type in Exposed, you'll probably come up with Sarin Exposed or Gulf War Veterans Exposed. Get online and let's get communicating of how we move this forward and make a difference.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're at the end of our show. Next week we'll do research methodology, and then 2 weeks another call-in. So be prepared to call us in. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, and we got to force medical care for all our veterans and their families. And God bless America, but it's up to us to do it. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.